you would, this morning, turn with me to the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. It's recorded, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." We all recognize that on Thursday we will celebrate a holiday called Thanksgiving, which has been a national holiday in our land for many, many years. President George Washington in 1789 made a national declaration that the people of this land, for God's great blessing in blessing us with the freedoms that we enjoy and being liberated from England, that the nation was to give thanks as a nation unto God Almighty for His wondrous grace and mercy. That holiday was celebrated from that time forward at different times of the year throughout the different states. However, during the time of President Lincoln, we find that he made a proclamation that this day of Thanksgiving would be set on the last Thursday of every November throughout the whole nation. And that practice continued on until the days of President Roosevelt, when he changed it to where it currently is, to the fourth Thursday of the month, like we now celebrate it. However, it has been celebrated in this land since the days of our Constitution being ratified. However, it dates back even prior to that. We find that when the pilgrims first came over to this land, as early as 1621, we find that they thank God for His blessings. When they first landed in 1620, we know that they went through a very, very harsh winter. However, through that next spring, they were blessed by God's help to have a wonderful harvest, and those that had survived that first winter turned during that harvest time and gave thanks unto God. We find that that had been a practice that had carried over even from England. See, the church at Rome, the Catholic Church, had long celebrated many holidays. In fact, before the 1500s, the church at Rome celebrated 95 church holidays in addition to 52 days of worship on the 52 Sundays of the year. After some reformation in the 1500s, they reduced that number to 27 church holidays, but many of the Puritans still thought that was far too much. And so they laid off celebrating any religious holiday, even Christmas and Easter. However, they called occasionally for days of thanksgiving or days of fasting. In times of mourning or tragedy, of course, they would call for days of fasting through their churches, and the churches would pray and fast. However, during times that God had bountifully blessed, those churches would also call for days of thanksgiving, which then was brought over into our nation, which now we celebrate once a year. However, I would hope that we don't celebrate such as that just once a year, but rather that we're thankful to God at all times. Because we recognize that without the help of God, we would not continue to this day. We have many great things at the hand of God that we're to be thankful for. When we read Paul's letter to Timothy, when he begins to list out a lot of the evils that have come into the world, he lists out why some of these evils have come. First of all, he says, because men are lovers of themselves. That's the very first cause. And then many other evils follow after that. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul lists there is that men would be unthankful. In Romans chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul gives that great indictment against humanity for their sins since Adam's fall, one of the sins that the Apostle Paul lists out is that men were unthankful. Here God has done great and mighty things for us. And whether we are talking about temporal blessings, natural blessings, or our eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, all these blessings come from the hand of God. And without Him, we would be lost forever. Think about everything that we possess, everything that we have, whether it be our homes, our families, our careers, our church, our pastor, the deacons in our congregation, the membership, think about our automobile, even the ability to get around in this country. And then we start thinking about the liberties that we have within this country, all the things that God has blessed us with. If we stop for a moment and thought about, if God took away everything for which we have not thanked Him for, what would we have left? I fear that we would be destitute oftentimes, because so many times we're just not mindful to be thankful. Here in Psalm 100 it says, we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Every time we come into the house of God, we're to enter His gates and into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. And sometimes we don't feel like giving thanks. There's times that obviously things are going well and it's easy to be thankful. There's times that things maybe are not going so well and it's very difficult to still give thanks. But you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. You say, well, it's very easy to do so when times are going well, but in days of struggle it's so difficult. And it's hard to be thankful when I'm going through afflictions or trials, and I understand that. I've been there as well. But I also see that there are those instances in the Bible where men were able to be thankful even in days of great adversity. For instance, think about Job in Job chapter 1, when he, unaware of what was going on in heaven, that here comes a conversation between God and the devil. And here God asks the devil, where have you been? He says, I've been going throughout the whole earth, just like the Apostle Peter says he does. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in this time, he was seeking out Job. And so God asked him, where have you been? He says, from going to and fro throughout the whole earth. And God says, hast thou considered my servant Job? And here the devil tells God, well, the only reason he's serving you is you have a hedge of protection about him. You've blessed everything that his hand has touched. And that's why he's thankful. That's why he serves you. And so God allows Satan to affect his life in such a tragic way there that day. We find in one day, he loses his family, his 10 children. He loses all of his flocks, his herds, and his servants. The Bible tells us that 4 messengers come to Job. And as one spoke, here came another. And as that one finished, here came the third one. As that one finished, here came the fourth. This wasn't bad news that was spread out over maybe a few months' time. Literally, as each servant spoke, another was standing waiting to give Job further bad news. Could you imagine being that third or fourth one to recognize that you're about to have to tell this man even more the disaster that's come upon his life? And notice how Job responds in Job chapter 1, verse 20. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He worshipped. Imagine that. Many people instead would curse the Lord and would cry against God for allowing such evil and tragedy to come into their lives. But that is not how Job responded at all. We see that as God has declared to this man that he is perfect, he's upright, he fears God, and he eschews evil, and he proves that by his reaction to the tragedy that comes into his life that day. He arose, he rents his mantle. You see that he's mourning. He's certainly in grief. This is not saying that Job just put a smile on his face and said, well, I'll just have to get over it. No, that is not what happened here. He was still grieved in his soul, but at the same time, he recognized that God is good and His mercy endureth forever, even in the times that tragedy comes into our lives. Notice he says he worshipped. He worshipped the Lord. Most people would say, I don't want to go to the house of God and worship in all the tragedy that I've experienced. But instead of that, Job had the proper attitude. He recognized whether good or evil comes into our life, God is still good, and God still deserves us to worship Him and to be thankful. Notice what he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He recognized the sovereign power of God to give him blessings, and he also recognized that it was God's sovereign right to remove that blessing. And when God did so, God was still to be praised. I remember, and I've probably relayed this to you before, in talking to Elder James Compton, who, as you know, lived to be 102 years of age. His wife lived close to 100. They were married for, I think it was 76 years, just shy of 77 years. And I talked to him about what that was like when he lost his wife, and this was his response about that. He said it was simply the end of a blessing. That's how he looked at it. The beginning took place over 70 years ago, and it was a blessing all through those years. And when the Lord called her home, He said it was simply the end of a blessing. You know what He was saying, just like Job said, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I know it doesn't say that Job here was thankful, but I believe when he says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," that's showing a heart of thanksgiving. Job recognized that he did not deserve any of those things which had been taken from him, but God blessed him with those things, and he was thankful for them while they were in his life. And when God took them from him, he still recognized that that was God's sovereign right to do so, and God was still to be praised. Think about over in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul goes to a place called Philippi. If you remember, Paul wanted to go to Asia and then to Bithynia. I believe that's the two places he wanted to go. I don't recall right now. But anyway, there was two places the Apostle Paul wanted to go. One I know was Asia. But as he began to pray about that, the Spirit suffered him not. And instead, he saw in a vision a man over in Macedonia saying, "Come and help us." So the Apostle Paul recognized that God had called him to go into Philippi. And so he goes there to Philippi, and thankfully he did, because now we have the book of Philippians. Really one of the greatest books of the New Testament, one of the greatest that Paul ever wrote. It's interesting, all the other books he was writing, he had to set in order something that was going wrong. But in this book, you find it's a book all about rejoicing. It's a book showing that this church had their perspective correct. They were sound in doctrine, but they were also sound in how they were living their lives spiritually. They were good disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this was a result of the Apostle Paul yielding to the Spirit of God when he wanted to go other places and preach, and God says no. But it's interesting, those very same places that Paul wanted to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and those are the very places the Apostle Peter is writing when he writes to the strangers scattered in those places. It wasn't that God forsook those people. God just intended for Peter to go there and the Apostle Paul to go to Philippi. So Paul goes to Philippi. Remember the story? He comes to the riverside, and there he finds women who are praying. And among those women is a woman by the name of Lydia. The Bible says she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, whose heart the Lord opened so that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. And so she heard the gospel there at the river that day, and she was baptized and her household. And so the Apostle Paul spends some days there in that community and continues preaching. But as he does so, there's a soothsayer, a woman, who continually bothers the Apostle Paul. And finally, after several days of listening to this woman, the Apostle Paul turns against her and tells the devil that's within her to flee. And so that's what happens. So when that devil leaves, she's no longer a soothsayer. And you find that the people of that community are very upset at the Apostle Paul because they use this woman to get great gain of people who would come into that community. She was a fortune teller, and so they charged for that. But now she doesn't have the ability anymore. And they blame the Apostle Paul, and they go before the magistrates of that community and say, "Here comes the apostle who's turning the world upside down and preaching things that ought not to be preached there in their community." And so they hear this, and there's an order to put Paul into prison. So Paul and Silas, they're placed into prison. I don't know how you would react. I suspect I would be grumbling and complaining. "Lord, here I've gone where you told me to go. I've preached what you've bid me to preach. I have done what you've told me to do. And the result is now here I am cast into a cave." That's how the prison was in that community. Paul was cast in the depths of a cave, and there he's left. But that's not how Paul responds. He does not grumble or complain. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang hymns, and the prisoners heard them singing. Now, generally, when somebody's singing, that's not showing that they're depressed or discouraged. It's showing someone who's thankful and someone who's encouraged, and that's how Paul and Silas respond out of what's going on against them. Here, they've simply done what God has commanded them to do, and because they have done the will of God, now they're suffering as Christians. However, we find the Apostle Peter makes it clear that if we're going to suffer, we're not to suffer as evildoers, but suffer as Christians. If you're going to suffer in this world, suffer for doing what is right, not for what's doing what is wrong. And that's exactly what's happened here in the Apostle Paul's case. You remember the apostles in Acts chapter 4, after they had preached the name of the Lord Jesus Christ there in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 3, if you'll recall, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And as they come up there to the gate called Beautiful, there was that man there that was unable to walk. And he was begging alms. Remember what Peter said? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man rose up and he walked. He went into the synagogue, or the temple rather, and he praised God. He was thankful for the blessing that he just received. But what happens to the Apostle Peter and John? The community was not thankful. That man was thankful, but the Jewish leaders were not. And so Peter and John are called before the council. And we find that they are beaten there that day and let go. And they're told they're not to preach in this man's name anymore. But what is it that Peter and John did? They thank God that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were thankful in the midst of their suffering. They did what Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything they were able to give thanks. Back in Acts chapter 16, here is Paul and Silas. They're praying and they're singing. They're showing that they have a thankful heart toward God, even in the midst of their trial and their suffering. And what happens? God sends an earthquake. And here, as that earthquake, the prison doors were opened, and all of a sudden, Paul and Silas are free to go. But they do not. They stay in their place, and here's a prison guard who has the charge to keep these men. And if these men are lost, he's to have his life taken from him. And so this man, fearful that the prisoners are gone and he's going to be put to death anyway, he takes his sword, ready to take his own life. And the Apostle Paul tells him not to do so. And remember what that man asked? What must I do to be saved? They just don't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou and thy household. That man carried Paul and Silas home. And in his own home, he tended to the needs of Paul and Silas. He cleansed the wounds that the very soldiers that he worked with had laid across Paul and Silas's back. Who knows, he might have contributed to the very wounds that he was now cleansing, but he recognized that God had blessed him that night, first of all, delivering him from death, but above that, he also was shown that he had the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ his Lord, and there he and his household believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and were delivered at least from the unrest of their heart and soul, and they recognized that day and knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had died for them and they were delivered from hell. What a great day it was for that man. The Apostle Paul and Silas, they could have grumbled about their situation and their circumstances, but instead they were thankful, and the result of that was God heard their prayer from heaven, opened the gates of the prison there, and that led to the conversion not only of that jailer but also his household. Here, see how God works. It's amazing, and it all started because these two individuals did not grumble and complain at their circumstances, but instead, in everything, they gave thanks because they understood that was the will of God concerning them. We often hear people ask the question, I don't understand the will of God. I don't know what the will of God is for me. Well, this text is very clear. This is God's will concerning you, that in everything we give thanks. He doesn't say in everything grumble and complain and murmur. In fact, we see very clearly from the Old Testament example of the Jews that God does not like murmuring and complaining. They murmured against Him so much that He sent many plagues against the children of Israel because they were not thankful for what He had provided for them. Imagine, here they were slaves in a foreign land. Here they were serving under hard bondage in that place, and here they were delivered by the hand and mercy of God from that, and God guided them along the way, brought them across the Red Sea, provided them both food day and night, also provided water when they were in the wilderness. He provided everything that they stood in need of. Even in their wilderness journeys, because of their unbelief, God was with them and provided for them all the way through it. The Bible says their clothes never wore out, their shoes never had to be replaced all those days because God was concerned with their needs. And what did they do over and over and over again? They grumbled, they complained, and they murmured at the hand of God. And before we criticize them, we ought to take stock of ourselves, because too often times we do the very same thing. The Apostle Paul tells the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And he says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now that does not mean don't be cautious. We're going to be leaving here shortly, and I don't know what kind of weather we're going to have, but we're going to try to be cautious. That does not mean just throw caution to the wind and just tempt the Lord. The word careful here means don't be full of worry, full of care. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. What's the point? He says, you don't have to be worried and fretful because God is on His throne. God is in control, And you're able to pray and make supplication to Him. But He says, when you do pray and make your supplication, let it be with thanksgiving. When you come before the Lord, even in times that you're concerned, we can still be thankful in those moments that we know that there is a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We understand and know that God is not removed from His creation. We know that He is nigh at hand, that He not only knows what we stand in need of, but He cares, and He has displayed that over and over in our lives, that we have seen the mighty hand of God over and over through our experience, and we can testify and say that the Lord has brought me to this present hour, and trusting that since He's brought me to this present hour, He's going to lead me safely on through the rest of the journey. Just as we heard preached a couple weeks ago, the Lord has promised that we are going to the other side, and so we don't have to be full of care over the circumstances that we may encounter in our experience. Why? Because we have a God that we can pray to, and He hears. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, Peter says this, that the eye of the Lord is over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. He's quoting from Psalm 34, which says His ears are open unto their cries. Here when God's people cry to the Lord, His ears are open to that. I'm thankful Isaiah chapter 59 tells me that the Lord's arm is not short and that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God can hear, He does hear, and when we pray to Him, we ought to trust that God is able to overcome the circumstances that we're fearful about. But we're to make that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He told the church at Colossae in chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be thankful. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. I turn to Luke chapter 13, and we see a woman who was bent over for 18 years. Can you imagine that? Here she stooped over. I don't know if it was arthritis or some kind of palsy. And for 18 years, this woman was bent over in a way of discomfort, stooped over because of this ailment. Here the Lord Jesus Christ encounters her. It says in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Can you imagine being in such a state as that? Just so racked and so bent that you can't even lift yourself up to change positions even for a moment to get easy. It's amazing what this woman must have gone through. It says, when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto that woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? After 18 years of being bent over, the Lord just speaks one word, you're loosed. And she was able to stand upright again. Notice what it says. He laid His hands on her and immediately she was made straight. You know what she did? It says, and glorified God. Very simple. But you know what that means? She was just thankful. Here the Lord had done something miraculous for her. Something that she needed done for 18 years. And she doesn't say to the Lord, well, why didn't you come along about 15 years ago or even 10 years ago? You let me go through this a lot longer than you needed to. No, that's not how she responded. She just glorified God because God's hand was merciful towards her, and she was thankful for the help that she had received of the Lord. We find, of course, in Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 lepers. We find the Lord Jesus Christ comes to a certain village, and there met Him there 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The Bible says they lifted up their voice and said to Jesus, says, have mercy on us. It says, when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So in His presence, they were still lepers. He tells them to go. By faith, I guess they went. And as they journeyed towards the priest, they were cleansed. 10 lepers are cleansed. When one recognized that he was cleansed, notice what it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, I don't know the nationality of the others. I suspect that because it tells us he was a Samaritan, the others were Jews, because here they are going to Jewish priest. Here is a Samaritan, though, and of the 10, he's the only one to turn back and glorify God and also give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how he does it. He fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus says to him. We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He was an individual that recognized that were it not for the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would still be unclean and he would end up dying from this disease. And it would not be a pleasant way to go, that he would suffer maybe for years, maybe for months, who knows. But it would have been an agonizing way to leave this earth. But the Lord Jesus Christ saw him as he was, had compassion upon him and the other 9 as well, and blessed him. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is merciful to us whether we're thankful or not. But notice the story. We can give some credit to this individual where we can't the others, because he recognized that this mercy, he did not deserve it. And so he wanted to show his thanksgiving to the one who blessed him so. So he just turned back to the Lord Jesus Christ and gave him thanks and also glorified God and fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ on his face. Jesus says, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We find throughout the Bible that the Lord Jesus himself was also thankful. Jesus expressed his thanks on many occasions. And of course, he is our pattern, the one that we're to try to emulate and to follow. And this mind that is in us, we're to have the mind of Christ Jesus, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. If that was the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be our mind as well. Notice in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Why? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the kingdom of God. Here God had revealed it to some, but also hid it from others. And notice Jesus was thankful for both of those things. Jesus was thankful to his Father because he hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but he revealed it unto babes. Here there were individuals that were looked down upon in society at that time, but the Lord Jesus Christ was merciful towards them, and God in heaven opened their eyes so that they were able to see the things that you and I behold this day. And here the Lord Jesus Christ thanked his Father in heaven for opening their eyes to these truths, but he also thanked the Father for hiding these things from the wise and from the prudent. You know, we ought to also be thankful every time that God in heaven opens the eyes of one of his children in this world. Every time that a person comes into the house of God and hears the Word of God, and God opens their minds to the truths of these things, we ought to also thank God in heaven because he revealed them unto babes. We ought to be thankful that he revealed it to you and I. We oughtn't take for granted that we know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one of the greatest treasures, if not the greatest treasure that I have in this world. To know that Jesus Christ has set me free from the sins that I had committed against him. To know that Jesus Christ redeemed us from hell, and that we know through him that we will be in glory at the last day because of his miraculous power that he showed abundantly as he died for you and I. We ought to show thanks that not only did he do those things for us, but he's also chosen to reveal that truth to our minds. We ought to be thankful, and we oughtn't take it for granted. And one of the ways that we can show our thanks is to be here every time that the gospel is preached. Every time that we have an opportunity to hear the Word of God and to be further illuminated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the ways we can show that we're thankful for what he's already shown us is to come to his house and pay our vows and to be here to hear more and more of it. And I suspect that if we're thankful for that which we already know, God is going to be more disposed to show us more than what we've already been able to see. Jesus was thankful for God's revelation of the gospel truth, and we ought to also be thankful. We also find that Jesus was thankful for God's provision. We find in John chapter 6 that after Jesus had been teaching and it comes time for lunch and there's over 5,000 people that need to be fed and the disciples don't know what they can do about it, we find that one of the disciples recognizes there's a lad there with a lunch, and he brings that, that's Philip, brings it to Andrew, and Andrew takes the oar, but he asks, well, what are these among so many? You know what Jesus said? Bring it to me. Among so many, they're nothing, but if you bring it to me, it'll be something. And so he brings it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord does? He blessed it, and all of a sudden it multiplied. But notice in John chapter 6, it says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. But notice again it says, Jesus, when He had given thanks, He showed that He was thankful for God's provision. You know, every time that we sit down to a meal, we ought to show our thankfulness for God's provision. We all recognize, or we ought to at least, that what is on the table isn't just because there's a public supermarket or a Winn-Dixie. That all started long before you went to the grocery store. Number one, you had to have the finances to purchase it, but there also had to be a farmer to plant it and to raise it. And for that to happen, there had to be a God in heaven who sent rain at the right time so that it could be planted and successfully harvested. And I recognize that we are not a farming culture anymore, and sometimes we forget all that goes in to us just sitting down in a meal at the table. All that comes because God's hand is gracious toward us. We find that God gives us our daily bread. It doesn't come from Winn-Dixie. It comes from the hand of God. And if God chose to remove it, my friends, we would tell it right quick. And we see over and over throughout the days of the Bible that God from time would send a pestilence or maybe a drought because His people had been disobedient, and very quickly He would get their attention. You know, it's amazing. Back home in Texas, as we were back out there for the couple years we lived there before moving here, I've told you about this, we were in one of the worst droughts that I've ever experienced. Seeing 110 degree weather and 30 mile an hour winds in the middle of summer is very uncommon. 110 is not so uncommon, but those high winds were. And so there, you couldn't water everything enough to try to raise anything. And it's amazing the people that you started hearing talking about needing to pray. People that before never talked about praying, certainly never talked about going to the house of God. But all of a sudden, when the economy of that area rested upon whether we received rain or not, and they knew down the road if it didn't come, that they would be hurting greatly. They recognized there was a God in heaven that was in charge of those things, and He needed to be prayed to. My friends, let's not get that far. Let's just recognize that we need the Lord's help. And be thankful for what He's provided for us. If you have a home, you have clothes to wear, you have food on the table, you've got a lot to be thankful for. The Apostle Paul said this, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. See, the Apostle Paul had been without food. He had been naked. He had been destitute. He knew what it was to be without those things. And Paul just said, having food and raiment. As the old color preacher said, having beans and breeches, that's enough. Be content with what the Lord has provided. And if the Lord has given you that, that's far more than many people have. And we ought to show our gratitude to the Lord for that. We also find that the Lord Jesus Christ was thankful that He had God's attention. Think about that. He was the Son of God, but yet He was thankful that God heard Him when He prayed. We go to John chapter 11. We come to the scene of the tomb of Lazarus. Remember that Lazarus had been sick. They send word that Lazarus at the point of death. The Lord Jesus tarries. Then after He knows that Lazarus has passed away, He goes to where he is. He, of course, meets Mary and Martha, and they come out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He lets them know, or they let Him know, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. And of course, that was true. You look at all the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, not one individual ever died in the presence of Christ, except the thieves on the cross, but they died after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever died in His presence, so what these two sisters said was true. But notice what the Lord tells Martha. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not about a day. She says, I recognize that my brother shall live again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that. But Jesus just tells her, I am the resurrection, and I don't need a day to come before I can give resurrection power. Here the Lord Jesus Christ recognized that on the day of the final resurrection, when He comes back, all that was going to come about, not because of date on a calendar, but by the power of a sovereign God. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to see that plainly declared. But here Mary and Martha saw it declared that day. Here we find that the Lord Jesus Christ goes out of the tomb, and He declares that that door is to be rolled away. Remember how they respond? Lord, He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. In other words, we don't want to go around that. It's too late, in other words. We've gone beyond the time for this man to be resuscitated. Notice what Jesus says. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Jesus thanked God, first of all, because God heard Him. How many times are we thankful that we have the avenue of prayer to God in heaven? To know that you don't have to go down to a priest with an offering, but even in the quiet of your heart, you can just speak and God will hear. It doesn't matter if you've got good cell coverage or not. God is not dependent on anything. He hears immediately as we pray. That is a tremendous blessing. And we oughtn't take it for granted. That means we ought to also use it daily. The Bible is clear, we're to pray without ceasing. That means we ought to always be a praying people. There ought to never be a day that passes that when we get to the end of the day that it dawns on us that we have not spent time that day yet in prayer. But we ought to get up in the morning with our mind upon the Lord. Remember what He says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." There's a blessing to us by keeping our mind on the Lord. He keeps our soul at rest. But also, we find that God delights in hearing from His children. Imagine, many of you here have children that don't live at home. You know what it feels like to have a child just call you up for no reason. Not asking for money, not asking for help, but just calling to say, "I want to talk to you." That is a very special thing to feel, is it not? Don't you think God in heaven, who has children on earth, feels the same way? Then when a child just reaches out to the Lord saying, "Lord, I'm not here because I want anything. I just want to spend some time talking to you. I'm thankful to know that you hear me. And I just want to spend some time talking to you and hoping that through that you'll also talk to me. And then I can go on with my day knowing that we've had time together." And what a blessing that's going to be in my experience. We also find that Jesus was thankful for redemption. We go to Matthew 26. We're at the communion service. It's been the last Passover. It's the first Lord's Supper. Jesus takes bread and He takes a cup and He blesses both. Now Jesus tells the disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." And then He gives them the cup and says, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." He gave thanks for both of those before He gave them to the disciples. Think about what had to be going through His mind. Here was an emblem of His body that was yet to be broken and His blood that was yet to be shed. But He also knew that it was going to be just a short while that He would be betrayed and He would be arrested. And the very next day, He was going to die. He knew that the emblem that He was set before them were the very sufferings that He was about to endure. But He also knew that which was set before them was more than just the sufferings that He was about to do. It was the redemption that that suffering would accomplish. And so as He gave thanks, I have to be mindful that the Lord Jesus Christ was being thankful to God the Father for the redemption that He Himself would procure by His sufferings that He would give freely to His children. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ was about to thank God for the sufferings that He was about to go through, but more than the sufferings, He was thankful to God for what those sufferings would produce. Think about that. I mean, that's amazing that Jesus, about to go through those very things, was able to thank God in heaven for the emblems of the horrible tragedy and suffering that He was about to experience. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Did not Jesus show Himself how to be thankful even in the face of great tragedy? Here He was about to experience the pure being put to the death for the impure, the just for the unjust, the holy for the unholy, but yet He still stopped and He gave thanks to His Father for what He was about to experience. We also find that the heavenly host is thankful, and they express that in heaven right now. We turn to Revelation chapter 4 and notice this. Revelation chapter 4 verse 8. It says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever," then it says, "the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before Him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." But notice again verse 9. Here are these four beasts that stand before the Lord both day and night. Here they have a wonderful job, do they not? Day and night, here they are before the Lord. What a place to be. And the day's coming, we're going to be right there where those four beasts are. And the day is coming that we're going to have the same job that they have. Day and night, what do they do? It says in verse 9, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, and they worship Him who liveth forever and ever. This is the four beasts. These are not the redeemed. These are creatures that God has made, the angelic hosts that are there to declare praise to His name. Here they've not been redeemed from their sins, but yet they still show thanksgiving to God. If the angels in heaven have reason to give Him thanks, do we not have more who are here on this earth who've been delivered from so great a death and whom we trust God will yet deliver us? We have great reason to give Him thanks, and the day is coming in heaven that we are going to surround the throne along with these beasts and along with those 24 elders, and we are going to bow before Him as well, and we'll render to Him the thanks that day that we ought to start doing right now. We find in Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, it says this. It says, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And then in chapter 11, verse 16, it says this. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. And this is why, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. Notice what they're thankful for. That God took to Him a power that already belonged to Him, and God reigned. You know what I think they're thankful for? I think they're probably at the moment that the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended back into glory and sat down at the right hand of God. What more display of God's power could there be than when the Son of God re-enters heaven in a bodily form, victorious over His own death, but also our death, over our sins and over that which would keep us from God? Does it not show His great power when the Lord Jesus Christ sat down? And what is He doing right now? He's reigning. And here these elders and these beasts, when they see the Lord Jesus Christ sit down, they call Him the Lord God Almighty, and they say, We give Thee thanks, and this is why, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and You have reigned. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. As I close this morning, I'd like to turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, after, we talked about this just recently, after the walls have been rebuilt, the gates have been rehung, everything has been put back in order. They've had their public worship and the reading of the law. Men have recognized where they have fallen short of doing that which God commanded, and they make that covenant to the Lord and they sign their names to it. They reestablish their worship and their offerings. The priests are back in their place. The Levites are doing that which God has called them to do. They've made their promises that they will not marry to the strangers of the land. Neither would they give their children to those strangers. They will not buy and sell on the Sabbath. They do all this. Now everything's in order. And we find that Nehemiah sends singers and porters and the Levites in two companies. And they spread out across one side of Jerusalem. One go up the stairs to the walls, and one go to his left hand, and the other goes to his right. The Bible says that they began to sing, they began to shout, and they began to play their instruments. And Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, it says, That day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. This people was thankful. Why? Because God had reestablished them in their place after they had left the land of Canaan, because God has driven them out for their disobedience. He's made them to live in a strange land for 70 years, and now they've even been blessed for many years to come back freely as they desire. Some of them did, some did not. They've rebuilt their temple. Now they finally rebuilt the walls. In other words, things are finally back as they're supposed to be. And when the people recognize the great blessings of the hand of God, they can't do anything but shout for the great joy which the Lord had given them. And notice it says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar. It doesn't say that they're singing. their instruments. That's not what the people heard afar off. It says the people heard their joy. They heard their joy. That's interesting to me. They could tell by their singing that this people had been triumphant, that this people was able to rejoice. People in this land ought to hear our rejoicing in this place afar off. God has given us great reason to rejoice. We ought to just do so. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 3? That we're to sanctify the Lord God always in our hearts and to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason of the hope that's within us. That sounds to me a lot like these individuals who heard the joy of Jerusalem. May we live a thankful life so that people will see our hope and see our joy and ask us about it. And then all we have to do is say, come and see. Come and see. All that starts, though, having a thankful heart. Again, God has blessed us with so much. Every one of us here has a home to live in. Cars to transport us where we need to go. Money to put gas in the tank, pay the electric bill, pay the grocery bill, help support the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all been blessed with families. Many of us have spouses still living. And if we don't, we have the memories of the ones that we had. Many of us have children still at home or children that are healthy. And even in the ones that maybe are not, we have the good times that are behind us that we can still be thankful for. We have careers, or we've already spent our lives in a career, and God has provided for us in our retirement so that we're able to now rest but still try to labor for the Lord in a different way. We have a house of God here that's been paid for many years, that is a very wonderful facility that God has blessed us with, and we ought to be thankful for that. We've been blessed in this place now for quite some time with unity and a feeling of peace in the house of God. And what a blessing that is to be able to come to the house of God and not be fretful of what might transpire here this day, but to know that the Lord is hopefully going to be here and the gospel will be heard. And hopefully we can go home saying it was good to go up to the house of the Lord. Here we're able to bring our children here. We're able to bring our friends here. We're able to bring family here with the hope that the gospel is going to be preached this day, and hopefully the eyes of one shall be open and the heart of one converted. My friends, we have so much to thank the Lord for. Every time we enter into the gates of this place, let us do so with thanksgiving. When we come into His courts, let us do so with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Why? Because His mercy endureth forever. God is merciful, and we ought to be thankful for all that He's done for us. Again, I've already showed how several were thankful even in the midst of great trouble. Even in times of trouble, we can still be a thankful person. I think about David in Psalm 119. You know what he said to the Lord? It's good for me that I have been afflicted. Of course, he said that after the affliction. There's been a lot of times I can look back at the affliction and be thankful for it after the time. There's been a few times in my experience that even in the middle of it, I didn't lose a thankful heart. You know, when I came out from the end of that affliction, I was thankful that in that I was able to keep heart. But more importantly, I was able to praise the Lord even in the time of darkness. Because that's the true test of faith and our discipleship, is how faithful we are in the days of adversity. So God says, even in times of trouble or times of joy, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May God bless you today is our prayer. Amen.